wet weather with a high of 52, a low down to 29, and then maybe snow showers possible on Wednesday with a high near 30 degrees. We currently have 32 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. News time is 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
All right, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We are expecting to chat with Howie Pentany from Pentany Capital Management, and in fact, I think he's joining us right now on the telephone. Howie, Dave Malarkey here. Nice to talk with you.
Hey, how are you, Dave? Sorry I got held up, though, but you know.
Oh, please. It's okay. It's no problem.
Okay, cool.
We operate on Irish time on this program, and you're right on schedule.
I've heard that, yeah.
Well, gosh, we have a lot to talk about. It was a wild and woolly fourth quarter of the year on the stock market. In fact, you could take a look at the last couple of days, and that is it in a microcosm. You know, last Thursday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 660 points, and then on Friday jumped up 750 points. This is volatility with a capital V, is it not?
It is. And it's, but, you know, that's just the way things have been going. So, you know, not many people should be surprised. I don't think it's, you know, it's probable that it's going to take a while. You know, we had a lot of damage done. And, you know, it takes typically over the years, at least in my experience, this is just my opinion, that when you have this much damage done, it takes a while to recover. I mean, we lost something short of 20% from the top in a very short period of time. So, you know, when stuff like that happens, it takes a little time to repair it. Now, having said all that, nobody knows. I don't know whether we're going to have a quick recovery or not. I mean, we look really good in the United States. Elsewhere, it doesn't look so good necessarily. We have issues with China. You know, countries across the, I think the IFA index, which is an index of foreign stock markets, was down about somewhere around 13 to 15% last year. So, you know, if you were invested there, that hurt you a little bit. The NASDAQ was down about 7. Mid-cap stocks were down 13. And the Russell 2000, which is small stocks, was down 11%. So most people, Dave, you know, you can't really compare your performance to the S&P 500 unless that's all you owned. Mm-hmm. If you had a diversified account and you had some foreign stocks and some smalls and some mids and, you know, and some blue chips, why, you know, you were probably down more than 6%. So, you know, it depends on how you were invested and, you know, a lot of things go into it. But this was not pretty.
Now, are you talking about these percentages that were down? Is that for the entire year, 2018 as a whole, or just for the fourth quarter, October, November, December?
Just for, or not just for the entire year.
Okay.
You know, it ended up, December was not pretty. And December is usually a pretty good year, and you know it just added to everyone's, you know, everyone's attitude as we got slammed in December. But you know, as I looked at everything, as I'm looking at things, it doesn't, you know, unless you were in information technology, unless you were in the stocks that led the market. You know, there were stocks like the FANG stocks that we've talked about before that led the market. Unless you had large positions in those stocks, maybe you did okay. There were a lot of stocks down 30%, Dave. A lot of stocks. And you know, so you just had to, you, if you're going to be an investor in this market, you have to be a long-term investor, as you and I have talked. And you shouldn't be out here piddling around unless you're serious and unless you're long-term.
Well, what if you're not long-term? What if you're within, you know, a few years of retirement and you're looking at your 401k and you're going, holy moly, what's the deal for those folks?
Well, you know, I always have to be careful when I say something here because you should have been prepared for something like this, in my view. If you are an investor, your account should have been should have had asset allocation so that if the market did indeed turn down, you had some protection. Now, there's no asset allocation that'll keep you completely out of trouble. In other words, there's nothing that'll keep you from completely from losing money except cash. So, you know, if you were say a 70-30 person, 70% in the stock market and 30% in bonds, why, you know, you probably did okay. So, you know, it depends on how you were invested, but people who are, you know, just short years to your point, away from retirement should have had that already taken into consideration. You know, they should have had their accounts structured, if you will, so that in the event something like this happened, they were at least prepared for it. Nothing you can do to avoid the losses. But people need to have their accounts prepared for something like this. We're not sure it's over. You know, who knows if it's over? So people should have their accounts prepared for virtually, you know, you can't be perfect, Dave, but almost any kind of a stock market. Your account should be prepared for good and bad things.
Now, as I look at my charts here, and I'm rounding things off, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the beginning of October, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was well above 26,000. In fact, it was close to 27,000. And it dropped all the way down to 22,000 toward the end of December. That's a pretty...
It was not pretty.
Yeah, it's a pretty big fall, especially in the month of December. Does that rival the big drop-off we had back in 08, or is it nowhere near that? Or
Well, it's nowhere near the kind of market that we had, Dave, in 2008, 2009. The markets were down from October, when the market hit a high of 2008, until March of 09. The stock market was down 55, 56, 57%, depending on how you measure it. So it was just horrible. And we had bank failures, and there were all kinds of issues. This stock market's nothing like that. Doesn't resemble it at all.
And what about worldwide? Because we found out here in the United States we were worried about things back in 08. It turns out this was a worldwide thing 10 years ago. Did international stock markets have a horrible December just like we did here in the U.S., or did they hold fairly steady?
No, they didn't do well. I mean, overall, the markets were down 13 to 15% outside the U.S., so there was really no place to hide. The bond market was basically break-even. So if you own bonds, the bond market index I follow was basically even. So you didn't make any money there. You didn't lose any, but you didn't make any. So even though you had interest payments and that kind of thing, those interest payments just made up for the losses in many instances. So, you know, there was no place to hide other than cash in the year of 2018. And who wants to be in cash? You know, you can't be in cash. So it was a very difficult market, one of the most difficult I've seen. But if you have your accounts prepared with asset allocation, there's an old, I think, I can't remember who said this, but it may have been in a Barron's or something many, many years ago, but I always remember this. If you have a little stock, if you have a little bonds, you have a little cash, you can survive about anything. So that's really true. If you had had a mixture of things in here, maybe you didn't do too badly in 2018. But I'm telling you right now, if you were aggressively invested, it was tough. If you were aggressively invested, you could have lost a lot of money.
We're talking with Howie Penteny at Penteny Capital Management, and we always mention this when we're chatting with a professional, that any opinions that we venture here are not meant for, certainly not financial advice. For that, you should turn to your own financial advisor or attorney or tax attorney. We're talking about general information here as we review the general markets for 2018. Now that we've wrapped up, seems hard to believe that another year is in the books already. It seems to me, Howie, that a lot of folks were talking about a correction for quite a while earlier in the year. Is that what this was, or was it more than that, or don't we know yet?
If you find out, call me. Let me know.
Well, you know, there were a lot of folks who said that the market was overvalued.
It did not officially hit a bear market. We were down 19 and change. So a lot, many people say 20% is considered a bear market. Well, we didn't hit that. So theoretically, we're still okay. But going forward is the issue. You know, again, you and I have talked about this before, how if we were an isolated country, in other words, if we just did business with ourselves, we'd be pretty cool. I mean, you know, we would be okay here. But since we are an economy which depends upon foreign people to buy our goods and services, you know, they buy our stuff, if you will, you know, when those countries don't do well, then it trickles over to us. So our GDP is, who knows where it is, but let's assume it's someplace around 4%, which is, you know, about twice as good as it had been. So, you know, I think our country's doing just fine. People are working, you know, the jobs numbers are great. You know, interest rates are still fairly low, but that's causing some people some pain because as interest rates were raised last year, the bond market didn't do well. It never does. But it didn't do well when interest rates are raised. Bonds lose value, generally speaking, when interest rates are raised. So the bond market didn't do much. A lot of people look at alternative investments instead of bonds. So, you know, it's a very difficult time. You need some help here. You need to be able to pick and choose your investments. And, you know, I think that most people are ill-prepared to do that. In other words, the average investor who does not have help, in my view, and I talk to them, in my view, are ill-prepared to handle a market like this. You need to know. It's hard enough for people like me. I mean, I've been doing this for four decades. It's hard enough for people like me. So people out there who don't have any help, you know, I don't know what they're doing.
Do we have any idea what caused this? You know, the economy, everybody says the economy in the U.S. is booming. We had just had a jobs report that came out at the tail end of last week. Many, many, many more jobs created than had been anticipated. Everything seems to be going along smoothly. How come the big nosedive?
Well, it actually started deteriorating, Dave. Number one, Apple. Apple got slammed because their sales are soft. They blame it on China. I'm not sure. You know, who knows? Apple was one of the stocks that led the market. When the market leaders begin to falter, you're going to see a market like this. And all you have to do is go across and take a look at Amazon and the FANG stocks, of course, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, you know, toward the end of the year in December, you know, they got hurt. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the market got knocked down like this. The market leaders, if they turn around, Dave, if the stocks that are keeping the market up turn around and suddenly go down, the stock market's going to follow them. So, you know, you can't talk about the performance. They did just spectacularly in early 18, and then the reality set in, and somebody said, well, how many $1,000 phones can we sell? That's where you are today with the newest and brightest phones are up around $1,000. Well, How many people are going to buy those phones, number one, and how many people are going to renew them as often as they used to? For instance, I used to figure that I needed a new phone every 2 years because I wanted to keep up with technology. No question about it. And I'm telling you right now, at $1,000, I'm not going to do that. It's not that I can't afford it, but I just think it gets to the point where you got to make a decision. Are you going to spend $1,000 or not? Now, one of these days, we get to my son tells me that one of these days we're getting to five on the speed. Things are really going to change. So I suppose I could, you know, you could turn around and say, "What'd you pay for your phone, Howie?" And I say $2,000. So, you know, that could very well happen, but. How many more Netflix subscribers are there? You know, how much more business can these people do? Now, the answer is a lot. Some of them can do a lot. So this is merely a stumbling block where, in my view, where maybe the stocks got ahead of themselves. Maybe. Maybe they're just now starting to trade where they should be trading. Who knows? Maybe the enthusiasm was so high, and it was high, that nobody paid much attention to the prices. They just wanted to own the stocks. So, you know, it depends on where you were playing. If you were invested, again, aggressively, as I said, then you got hurt. But if you practice asset allocation, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as a lot of the financial press is trying to make it. It wasn't good, no question about that. But, you know, as I talk to investors, as I look at the numbers, you know, a lot of investors, while they didn't make any money, they didn't make any money last year, maybe they didn't do as poorly as a lot of people think.
I shake my head when I see, and I'm looking at a headline from the end of last week. It was Friday, Associated Press story. Stocks dive after Apple says iPhone sales in China slowed. Couldn't anybody have anticipated this? I mean, as you said, $1,000 for a phone. A lot of people are balking. They're saying, my phone just works just fine. Why should I get a new one? It seems to me that this should have come as no surprise to investors. Were Apple people overstating what they thought was going to happen? Didn't they realize this in advance? I can't see where it's a big shock, or should have been a big shock anyway.
Well, the problem is that... you know, people get enthusiastic. It's like fear. You know, people suddenly are fearful, so they sell, and then things go down. But people are very hesitant, Dave. I've been doing this for a long time. People are very hesitant to take money out of the market when it's doing well. In other words, let's assume that you looked early last year, and you know the markets. You and I talked about this. We've been talking about it for 2 years, about how resilient the market was. It would go down 5 or 10%, and then it'd zoom right back up again. So if you were out, you were missing, you know, if you were out of the market, you were missing out. So that's not, you know, this is just not unusual. People get enthusiastic. I didn't see them backing up the truck. In other words, I didn't see investors saying, this market is never going to stop. So we're going to back up the truck and load up. I didn't see that. So the enthusiasm for that was not there, at least from what I could see personally. But I did see people have a lot of enthusiasm. I remember hearing someone question selling something, and they said, why did you say it was doing so well? Well, okay, so I took some profits. You know, I mean, people who did that earlier this year are looking pretty smart. But trust me, most people are not inclined to do that. Most people want to sell at the bottom and buy at the top. It's psychological. I've been watching it for years. You know, the attitudes are, I think the American Association of Individual Investors, which is a very well-known association, I think only about 25% of those members are positive. In other words, only 25% of them think the market's going to do well. Well, if you're a contrarian, meaning someone who goes the opposite way, then that could be a really good sign. It could be a really terrible sign. They could be right. You know, market could do poorly. But I pay a lot of attention to sentiment. I like sentiment. And if you see a group of people selling who are never right, that gives you some degree of hope that the future could be better. I have no clue what the market's going to do. Nobody knows. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV and watch those people for a little bit, and you'll find out nobody knows. So the best thing you can do is just realize I don't know. So I'm going to build an account that hopefully will let me make some money when the market's good and not lose a lot of money when the market's bad. In my view, Dave, that's the answer.
We'll take a quick break. We have more time to chat with Howie Penteny. We're taking a look back at what was a rough year, quite frankly, for investors on Wall Street. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR, and we will be back right after these words. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gawn Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, just off Newcastle Road behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. What do they do there? They package your items for shipping. Very convenient. I've utilized their services. It's quick, it's affordable, and it's very good. You can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. You just take your stuff up to Gawn Postal Butler, and they'll pack it up and ship it out for you. They also offer a copying service, scanning service, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Or you could pick up a greeting card there, too. They're open Monday through Friday, 140 Shockey Lane. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants off Newcastle Road. Phone them for more info, 724-841-0044. Gawn Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
When the time comes, the last thing you need to concern yourself with is planning the funeral. It's the wrong time, your time of grieving, when your emotions come to the surface. You just can't think straight. You just can't. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you pre-plan the funeral. Make all of the choices now while you're still emotionally able to. The funeral service, the casket, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church services or not. All of these decisions. Avoid all of that. Pre-plan now. Make those decisions now while you can think clearly and rationally. Think about it, and then talk it over with us at Thompson Miller. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, folks. We're taking a look at the year of 2018. Not a real pleasant year for investors as Wall Street stocks took a tumble, especially in the last 3 months of the year, the last quarter, which is many times a segment of the year for movement, although, Howie Penteny, it's usually movement the other way, right? We usually get a little boost as we head into the holiday period. Didn't happen this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is a different market. I mean, you have to be prepared for change. You have to be prepared for change. If you're not, then, you know, you're just going to be left out. But you and I were talking, and I said, many years ago, I came on your show, and the first question you asked me was, what are you buying? And I said, canned goods and ammunition. Because it was not good. It was not a happy time. That may have been, you know, 2008, 2009. I don't know. But this is nothing like that. The United States is doing pretty well. We don't have any banking issues. You know, none of the banks not many of the banks, if any, are suffering any liquidity problems. You know, there's not an issue. I think that I would be remiss to say that our president probably hasn't caused a little bit of this because of the China situation where he wants to impose tariffs and that kind of stuff. But overall, the president's not pushing down this market. It's stocks that are pushing down the market, stocks that look like they got overpriced. Now, this is just me talking. I don't know what happened. That's my guess. A lot of stocks got overpriced, and a lot of people decided that it didn't look like they were going to continue, and that was our $1,000 phone conversation a few minutes ago, to be able to sell the goods and services that they wanted to sell at an unlimited price. I mean, it's real easy to buy stuff, Dave, when it's cheap. But as things go up in price, I don't care whether it's subscriptions for movies or what it is you're buying. If things go up in price, it becomes more difficult for people to actually do that. So I don't think there's an issue here. Now, that doesn't mean the market's not going to go down. It could get slammed and go down even more. But and I'm not sure that it's, you know, that the volatility is going to go away either. But again, I don't worry about it. I only worry about things over which I have no control. And I try not to worry about things over which I have no control. The stock market, I don't have any control over it. So I'm not going to worry about it. What I am going to do is build my account to the point that I'm comfortable if the market goes down. In other words, figure out how much loss you're willing to take and build an account that if that happens, you'll be okay. I mean, that's the way professionals do it. And that's the way, in my view, most people should do it. Build your account so that you are comfortable if the stock market goes down or if the stock market goes up. As soon as you take money out of the stock market, you've taken the potential for profit out of the stock market. So you have to be comfortable saying, hey, you know, I'm going to take 20 or 30% of my money and not put it in the stock market and put it someplace else. You have to be comfortable doing that because if the market goes up, that 10, 20, or 30% of the money that you took out is not going to go up in value. And a lot of people don't do that well, Dave. In other words, they'll say that, well, I'm okay. You know, if I don't make a lot of money, that's okay. I'll be protected. And then, of course, what happens? The market goes up, and they're unhappy because they're not, you know, they didn't participate. But, you know, the people that I know, you know, are pretty comfortable about where their accounts are. And that's where you have to be. You have to be very careful and comfortable with where your account is. And, you know, only you can determine that. In other words, people, money managers run a lot of money, but they run money depending on how the people want them to run the money. In other words, if they want them to be aggressive, they'll be aggressive. If they, you know, people can choose. If they want money to be managed aggressively, then they choose an aggressive mutual fund, for instance. And maybe if they're not, you know, maybe they don't want to be that aggressive, maybe they get something that's blended. You know, but you have to be willing to not participate on the upside as much as you would if you were invested. But conversely, it does help protect you a little bit when the market goes down.
Talk a little bit about commodities. We're chatting, by the way, listeners, if you've joined us a little bit late, chatting with Howie Penteny, client portfolio manager at Penteny Capital Management on Route 19 in Portersville. Let's talk about commodities. Last time I checked, I think it was last Friday, crude oil was closing just under $50, Baron, it was 48 yeah. bucks or yep. something like that. It's down, and the price of gasoline is, I bought gas yesterday afternoon, $2.28 a gallon. I think that's the lowest I've paid since I was a teenager for gasoline.
Hey, just think, if Pennsylvania didn't have 65 cents a gallon in taxes.
Wow.
What it would be. Pennsylvania is the highest in the nation, I believe, for taxes on gasoline. 65 cents a gallon. So if you're not happy with even at $2, like you say, you know, talk to your people in Harrisburg, because they're the ones that put those taxes in place.
Are people still investing in oil stocks with this these low prices?
Well, would you rather pay 80 for oil or 50?
Well,
you see, I always give people the example. If you were out Christmas shopping and you saw a coat in a store that was $250, and you didn't buy it because it was $250, and then here it is January and you're back in the same store and the coat's $125, is there anything wrong with the coat?
Not the same coat, yeah.
It's the same coat. So if it is the same coat, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, you might very well go ahead and buy it. Now, the problem with the stock market is it can go lower. So, you know, you're never sure if the discount you're buying at, you know, is the discount that that is going to be the bottom. You know, it's going to be the bottom. But commodities, this is a general statement, Dave. Commodities generally do well with periods of inflation. I just don't see that out there. I mean, I just don't see big inflation out there. So I don't. I'm not a commodities trader, and my knowledge of commodities is very limited. But I do think that I know that commodities, generally speaking, do pretty well, you know, when there's inflation or a shortage. So, you know, if there's no corn around, for instance, corn's going to be expensive because there's no corn around. And that's supply and demand, you know, that's going to work like that. But generally speaking, you know, if inflation starts to get hot, then maybe that's when commodities, you know, should be looked at. I think the Dow Jones Commodity Index, you know, didn't do very much. I think it might have been up less than 2% for the year, last year in 2018. And crude oil was up 5% or something. So, you know, the commodities out there that you and I play with, natural gas went up a little. It was a couple of bucks. Now it's around 3.5. But, you know, there's a lot of things to look at. You can look at gold, corn. I mean, you can look at anything that serves as a commodity, coffee. Generally, those commodities have been fairly well under control, which is good for you and me. In other words, we like to buy stuff that's cheap, especially if we have to eat it. And so if we have cheap commodities, that's not necessarily bad. It's when inflation begins to rear its ugly head that most commodities then go up in value and cost you and I more. But, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't understand that are just, I mean, I'm surprised that the cell phone companies aren't paying me to use my cell phone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, prices have come down so much. I was paying, I think when I got my first cell phone, and I'm not going to tell you when that was, but it was one of those bag phones, you know?
Oh, yes, I remember
them. I think it was $1.50 a minute. So, you know, it was expensive to have a cell phone. Well, those prices have basically collapsed. How about I saw advertised over Christmas that you could buy a computer, you know, not with all the bells and whistles, but you could buy a computer for $200 or $300. You know, that's just incredible. The technology is unbelievable today, and we've, you know, I think as a population, as the human race, as people here in the United States and actually around the world, we've really benefited by technology. I think, you know, I sometimes hate carrying my cell phone and I want to hide it and put it away, and I think that there ought to be people who shouldn't own cell phones. But having said all that, the technology is incredible. I have done business on my cell phone virtually around the world. I was talking to my son this morning. He is on his honeymoon in Asia, and he happens to be in Phuket. Now, Phuket, if you don't know, is 9,000 miles away from Portersville. 9,000 miles. At 5 o'clock this morning, which was 6 o'clock their time, they're 13 hours ahead, he and I were texting each other back and forth. Now, how incredible is that?
Yeah, pretty incredible, yeah.
It's pretty incredible. If you have a computer, you can almost be anywhere in the world and do business. And it's kind of neat that that happens. And technology is responsible for that. There's a lot of technology out there, and that's not necessarily just computers, but there's a lot of technology out there that, you know, make it possible for you to have a better life and to do things that I mean, I can guarantee you, I never could have envisioned things like what is really going on today. My only question, of course, you know, and I'm old and hard to convince, but, you know, I just question about how quickly electric cars are going to replace everything. I just don't believe that's accurate. But I've been wrong before, so we'll see. But, you know, those are the technology that's out there is definitely taking hold. It's definitely going to be there. There's at least one, other than Tesla, there's one other car company, I think, that's not going to run your regular gasoline piston-fired engines anymore. You know, they're going to be electric. So those things are coming. I'm just not sure it's tomorrow afternoon.
And I'm not sure a lot of people are going to be able to afford them for any time in the foreseeable future either, because they're mighty expensive cars right now, mighty expensive.
But with volume comes, you know, more volume, price will come down. So we'll find out with the cell phones for sure. I was reading a report, a rating report the other day. This has nothing to do with anything really, but I was reading a rating report the other day that had cell phones rated as far as the quality, blah, 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 and comparing it to price. And, of course, there was the $1,000 ones. Then there was one for $750. And then there were cell phones for $450 and under. Well, the reality is most people could probably do with the cell phones that are $450 or under, but they don't want to. So they're willing to pay. But, you know, the cell phone operators have made it real easy to own a phone for $1,000. You know, they just stick it on your monthly bill and not charge you any interest. So, you know, things are pretty easy to own really good things today. I think that Apple's issue is, you know, where is their market going to be? If they can't get to China, then where is their market? How many more people in the United States are going to spend $1,000 for the phone? And it may be a lot. You know, I'm not a good person to ask about this stuff because my knowledge is limited. But, you know, you got to ask yourself a question: how much money can people spend? And the answer is a lot now, because there's a lot of people with jobs. You know, you and I have talked before too about how Pennsylvania always looks good. I'm convinced beyond reasonable doubt that people in Pennsylvania get up and go to work every day. If you don't believe me, get up at 4:30 and get on the Interstate 79 and drive along. Tell me what you see. And what you're going to see is a lot of passenger cars, because people in Pennsylvania get up and go to work. And that's a good thing. And that may be why some of the people in Pennsylvania are doing pretty well. You know, I mean, I know business owners, and I'll ask them, how are you doing? And more often than not, you know, their answer is, we're doing pretty well. You know, we're doing pretty well. Business is good. And I love to hear that. So, I mean, I think that's wonderful that people go into business for themselves, entrepreneurial kinds of people, you know, and they do well. I love to see that.
We'll take a break. We'll continue our conversation with Howie Penteny here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Be right back.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. We're chatting with Howie Penteny. We're taking a look back at the year on Wall Street. It was okay up until the last quarter. It had been volatile, but really no major problems. And then suddenly things took a nosedive in October, November, and especially in December. Where's it going in the future? We don't know. Howie Penteny doesn't know. We could go lower. We could recover and get back to where we were. How long will it take? Nobody knows. Is there a lot of money on the sidelines right now, Howie? I know you've talked about in the past about that, where analysts have said there's a lot of people waiting to see what they're going to do. Is that the case right now?
I think that's probably true, Dave. I feel what bothers me, being in the business that I'm in, is that I know there are people who sold in 2008, 2009, and then never got back. Never. They're still not back. And they missed an opportunity to make two or three or four times on their money, and it's sad. You know, it's really sad. I think that what you're seeing today, and I think you're going to see more of it, is that companies are changing. So investors need to figure out which companies are capable of change, and if the change that they are going to make is a good one. For instance, let's take a look at the oil and gas business. Chevron and Exxon used to be when we talk about individual stocks here, and I mention them, these are not buy recommendations or sell recommendations, so don't pay any attention to me from that standpoint. But Chevron and Exxon used to be oil companies, you know, the biggest oil companies around. Guess what? By some count, they're about 50% natural gas now. So they've changed. I think another big change you're going to see is cable TV. I mean, if these cable companies don't make some changes, who are they going to sell to? You know, who's going to buy cable when you have access to it many ways, online and otherwise? So the companies, if you can identify them, if I were smart enough to be able to identify them, and you would know what companies are going to change and change to the positive, that would be so cool because you could make a lot of money. So that's a challenge, in my view. That's a challenge. You know, if you're an individual investor and you're buying individual stocks, you know, you need to take a look and say, is this company doing well? Are they going to change or are they not going to change? I'll give you an example, in my opinion, again, this is in my opinion, of two companies which did not change and it cost them, Sears and Kmart. I mean, Sears actually bought Kmart, which was really silly in my view, but they didn't realize that what was happening to their customers. When I was growing up, Sears was the man, they were the man. They were the gorilla in the room. If you were going to buy something, you went to Sears to buy it. And that's, you know, unfortunately, it changed, and Sears didn't identify it. These companies have to identify the change, and then they have to make the change. I mean, you're going to see all kinds of things happening, I think. For instance, how about the health insurance companies getting together with pharmaceutical companies? I mean, you're going to see more of that kind of thing, I think, if it becomes, you know, fairly significant and it becomes something that can work. And so, you know, you would never have thought, for instance, to see a pharmaceutical company and an insurance company doing business together. You wouldn't have seen that. But, you know, that's happening, and in my view, it's going to happen big time in the future, but I could be wrong about that. But I think you're going to see more mergers and acquisitions and that kind of thing as these leaders of these companies try to figure out how they're going to compete. You know, how are we going to compete in this business that we are in? And if they can find themselves a partner and go out and merge together with that partner, maybe it works. But there's so many of them going on right now, Dave. People trying to get together and trying to figure out what's going on. That's really the key to investing, in my view, is we got to figure out what's going to happen. If I knew what was going to happen in 10 years, I'd be too busy to talk to you.
In the world of television entertainment, has been a marked change over the past decade. I can't tell you the last time I watched an entertainment program other than news or sports on one of the big three broadcast networks.
Well, I can tell you, it's crazy. I can tell you that I was sitting in London in a hotel listening to you on my computer because you guys stream now.
Mm, that's true, yeah.
So all I had to do was sign on and I could hear everything that was going on in Butler. I mean, that's incredible that you can do that. And you can carry it virtually around the world. As long as you can get internet around the world, you can listen to WISR or whatever, you know, every day, live and not in color because we can't see you. But, you know, you can see, it's definitely live, and it's really pretty cool. And you guys have had to change. You know, there's no question about it. Radio is not what it was 15 years ago. It has changed dramatically. And if you change, you make it. If you don't, you're just going to be left behind.
I've heard some rumblings that there may be an increase coming in the price of natural gas. Have you heard any rumblings to that effect, Howie Petney?
No, I don't believe in rumblings, Dave, and I'll tell you why. Because rumblings, generally speaking, are rumor. They also presuppose that somebody out there can control the prices. I was in a restaurant one day, and I heard a man and a woman talking about oil prices. And they were of the opinion, together, that oil companies control oil prices. That if it wasn't for the greed of oil companies, that, you know, the price of oil would be very low. And that's just so far from the truth and accuracy that it's incredible. If the demand for oil went down, Dave, to where people who bought oil were only willing to pay $29 a barrel instead of $50, oil would be 29 barrels. The oil companies can't control that. Natural gas, I mean, I guarantee you one thing for sure. If the natural gas companies who have been buying up, you know, and drilling all these wells here, particularly in, we've seen it here in Pennsylvania, I guarantee you that if they could raise the price from $3 to $8, they would do it. So I don't know about the, I think, this is what I think about natural gas. And again, I don't know everything about natural gas. I think that there are countries out there that have no natural resources, countries obviously outside the U.S. And the more of these tankers that are built that will hold liquefied petroleum, you know, LP gas, propane, the more of these ships that are built, the better it's going to be for the gas companies. Because they're going to be able to ship gas outside the United States. There are just so many people starving for natural resources, and they don't have them. They don't have natural gas. They don't have oil. So if you could make that available to them, then yes, I think prices would go up, particularly in natural gas. So I think that they're, you know, I'm not talking about rumblings. I'm just saying, you know, the reality is that the demand across the world for natural gas is definitely there, Dave. And I think if they can get it, that'll drive the price up. If they can get natural gas and the demand can be filled or not filled, then the price of natural gas will go up.
It's interesting to think about natural gas as a transportation fuel. I'm not sure that for private vehicles that's going to take off, but for commercial vehicles, you know, the bus system here in Butler County, the Butler Transit Authority, will soon, very soon, in fact, open up its own fueling station. And their buses, many of them already run on compressed natural gas. They all will eventually, and they'll have their own compressed natural gas fueling station here in Butler in the Pullman Center area. Who would have guessed that 3 or 4 years ago? Nobody, I don't think.
And, you know, and I'm not trying to be a pessimist about this, but, you know, as soon as they get everything switched over to natural gas, it'll be electricity. You know, it'll be electric buses and everything that'll be out there at half the price. So, man, it's tough to stay abreast of this stuff. I mean, you do what you think the right thing is, and, you know, when all these switches were made to natural gas in these vehicles, was gasoline $2 a gallon? I don't think it was. So it's difficult. It's just so difficult to be right all the time. You can't.
What about interest rates? The Fed has been slowly increasing interest rates. It appears much to the chagrin of President Trump, but he's really not able to control that, is he? I mean, he can pontificate, but it's not his call, right?
That's correct. I think that the Fed overstepped their bounds. Now, again, I'm not an interest rate guy, but I think a lot of those people don't. You know, a lot of those people in that area, Dave, said that the stock market overreacted. Do you remember seeing that in the paper? Mm. You know, the stock market overreacted to these interest rate increases. Well, boys and girls, let me tell you something. The stock market never overreacts. The stock market reacts the way the stock market should react. And the situation is, why do rising interest rates cause us a problem? Because it takes the risk out of investing. For instance, if you could buy a 10% treasury bill today, how much money would you take out of the stock market and buy treasury bills? Because when interest rates go up, so do returns. Returns go up. And that gives investors another place to put their money.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think I'm not a favor of the guy running the Fed. I think that he overstepped himself, and I think that he's trying to cut it back a little bit. I mean, I think he made some inroads talking about the fact that maybe they're not going to raise rates this year. Well, if he hadn't have been so aggressive to begin with, he wouldn't have to be worrying about that. So I just think the guy doesn't understand the stock market. He may very well know about interest rates and that kind of stuff. But the stock market does what the stock market does, and it will react to negative actions when the actions are negative. Rising interest rates, generally speaking, are not good for the stock market. So if this guy thought he was going to raise interest rates and the stock market wasn't going to go down, he had to be trekking in the Himalayas or something. I don't know what he was thinking.
A final break. We'll come back to wrap up our conversation with Howie Penteny here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
I'm a big believer in community medicine.
Meet Dr. Richard Begg, the newest member and clinical leader of the Butler Health System cardiology team.
People like to be taken care of where they live. The closer you are, the closer the relationship. So there's a real loyalty to Butler Health System. That's something people in the region have invested in for a long time.
For more than 20 years, our cardiovascular center has brought world-class heart care to the heart of our community. Today, we're building on that strong past to ensure an even stronger future.
Most everything you would find in a larger health system, you'll find right here. People with cardiovascular disease are showing the ultimate trust in us. And we don't take that for granted. We work to earn it every single day.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Did you buy a car, truck, or SUV last year thinking you were going to get 0% or some other low-rate finance offer and then drove off the lot with a much higher rate? Don't worry. Armco Credit Union has the solution. Refinance with us and get a 60-month loan on a 2016 or newer vehicle for just 2.24% APR. We've got low rates on older models, too. It's never been easier to join, so call any of our four branch locations today or visit us at armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federal. Insured by NCUA.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby is not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. Chatting with Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management today. Howie, what about folks who are heading toward retirement, maybe not next week, but in the not-too-distant future, heading toward retirement? What should they do?
Let me tell you something, Dave. This is tough. I mean, I talk to people, and people will come and we'll have a conversation. We'll just have a conversation. They'll say, okay, I'm getting ready to retire, so I'm not putting money in my retirement account anymore. I'm taking it out. Now, how does that work? You know, it can be, I mean, it can make you very nervous, as it should to a little, small degree. But all of a sudden, all these years, you've been working your tail off for 40 years, and you've been putting money in your retirement account. And now you're going to retire, and guess what? You're not putting any more money in there. So it can be pretty overwhelming if you're not prepared. And I think the thing that I find interesting as I talk to investors is there are a lot of people out there who were good savers, a lot of people. There are a lot of people out there who were bad savers. I remember talking to someone quite a while back who had worked for a company for 25 years, and the company had a retirement account that they could put money into. And I asked him how much money they had in their retirement account, and the man told me $25,000. So over 25 years, he only put enough money in there to end up with $25,000. You know, I think you have to take care of yourself, David. If you've taken care of yourself and you have accumulated money, then you should be in pretty good shape. It's scary, but financial people can help you. They can help you show you how to get the money out of your accounts, out of your stocks, out of your bonds, whatever it is you have, and give you some degree of comfort about how easy it is. Because it isn't that difficult. I think it scares people, but hey, just keep your spending. You know, what does everybody tell you, Dave? Keep your spending reasonable. As you go into retirement, you know, you're probably not going to have the same cash flow that you had when you were working. So you're not going to be able to spend that kind of money. So just look at it realistically. Get some help from somebody that you can trust. You know, I always say, find somebody you like and somebody you trust and give them your money, and then let them figure out how you're going to get your money out of there. Because I'll tell you, it's a scary situation when you've just been putting money in your account all these years, and now you're going to take it out.
Howie Penteny, client portfolio manager with Penteny Capital Management, Route 19 in Portersville. And the opinions voiced on our program today are for general information only. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney or accountant, your financial advisor, or your tax advisor prior to investing. Howie, Happy New Year to you, and here's hoping our first quarter of 19 is a little better than last quarter of 18, right?
Yeah, and I hate to think about it, but you know what that coincides with, don't you?
No, what?
April Fool's Day.
Oh, terrific. Thanks much. Howie, have a good day. Good to talk with you.
Thanks, David. See ya.
Okay, so long. Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's program, we've got, folks from the Butler Little Theater here tomorrow. They're about to open up a new show. It's a little early, but they usually open their January show at the end of January. Well, we'll find out, I think. It's Tuesdays with Maury, which is a stage adaptation of a very, very popular book of a few years ago. We'll have guests here to talk about that tomorrow. Also, Stan Kosciuszko from the Butler County Chamber of Commerce will be here to chat with us on tomorrow's program. And on Wednesday, Kristen Hibbs, a Butler native who's lived in London for quite a few years now. She's a design consultant and architect. She's back home for a visit, and she'll be stopping in to chat with us. She has been, over the past year, all over the world, working on different projects. I'm anxious to talk with her again. She'll be here on Wednesday. I'm Dave Mullarkey. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today, and hope to see you tomorrow, 12:30, here on It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Mullarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Bluebird.